Globalization Fireside Chat, and I'm going to be speaking in a very lower voice this afternoon because I was telling Councilor Deepika de Merla that I've been recording all day, almost 4 hours, long hours of recording podcasts. Today, we are getting together again with Councilor Deepika de Merla in an information session about the budget that was just passed at the City of Mississauga. The objective of today's call is to go through the what has passed in terms of budget and try to explain it as much as possible to the audience. So welcome to the conversation, Councillor, and look forward to our discussion on budget. I can't believe I'm saying that. I don't look forward to discussion on budget ever. But this evening I am.
Well, you know what? We're going to make this fun. We're going to make this fun. Okay.
Well, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it. Would you mind, if you don't mind, just taking us through the highlights first, and then we'll dig into the details.
So first, I just want to say that the budget that passed was not the City of Mississauga, but the Region of Peel. And then the
Region of Peel, okay.
Yet to be passed in January. So if you live in Mississauga, you actually have two municipal governments. The Mississauga, Region of Peel, each has its own budget. And unfortunately, you pay property taxes twice. Once to the Region of Peel, once to the City of Mississauga. But when you get your property tax bill, it comes as one bill. I almost wish it would come as two separate bills because it would be more transparent. Like people would know, this is the Region of Peel, this is the City of Mississauga. Now it's all combined and people get confused and politicians have the opportunity to point fingers. Oh, it was the region that increased taxes, not the city, and all of that. So it gets confusing. But be that as it may, since we have two budgets, we have to pass two budgets. We just yesterday passed the Region of Peel budget. And I want to make it really simple because I'm going to show you something. Can you see how big this is?
Wow.
So this, but the budget is three blocks. This is volume three. Can you see that it's volume three?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Business plan, etc. Yeah.
So this is how thick the budget books are. And so that just, and it's all publicly available, but who has the time or the ability to go through such complexity? So I'm going to make it really simple. Your taxes, if you happen to live in Mississauga, the Region of Peel portion is going up by 3.6%. So you're going to pay more in taxes in 2026 to the Region of Peel by 3.6%. Okay, so why are we paying more taxes? The simple answer is last year, the Region of Peel spent $1.6 billion on various things. This year, it's planning to spend $1.8 billion. So essentially, we are spending about $150 million more this year. So we're spending $150 million more. So we are charging you $150 million more. And that works out to about 3.6%. Clear so far? Now, what is
this? So far, so good, yeah.
What's this $150 million made of? What the heck are we spending $150 million more this year than last year, right? That's it. To really simplify it, three big. The first one is policing. Of the $150 million increase, $75 million, 50%. So the biggest reason we are spending $150 million more this year than last year is the police budget's up by $75 million. The next biggest piece is $35 million is going towards wages increased. So if we paid our employees X dollars, this year we're paying them X plus $35 million. So this is their salary increase, the annual salary increase. So we're already at 75 plus 35, we're already at $110 million, right? Another $10 million we're spending because there's a lot of services, Ayub, that the region provides on behalf of the Ontario government and the federal government. Think of the Region of Peel as the contractor who is providing services on behalf of the region of the province of Ontario and the federal government. What kinds of
services? And no cost sharing there? There's no cost sharing? There's no reimbursement?
There is. That's what I'm saying. We're like the contractor. It's a bit like the province pays, gives us the money and says, you go and deliver this service for us. So things like we run long-term care homes. We do affordable housing, right? Just as public health. So these are all things we run on behalf of the province and the province gives us money. Unfortunately, the province often doesn't pay the full bill. What's a contractor going to do if the province doesn't pay the full bill? Either you can say, not delivering the services, or you take money out of your own pocket. We are taking money out of our own pocket, which means we're taking it out of your pocket. Now you might say, Deepika, well, just don't deliver the service. And I think of it as, you know, in a custody battle, sometimes one spouse doesn't pay child support, knowing full well that the parent with the custody will beg, borrow, steal to make sure the kids get what they want. So it's I feel it's the same way because we are providing the services. So we are like the parent who's actually on the ground providing services. I, meaning not just me, but the region has to look people in the eye and turn them away from shelter.
Yep. Yep.
Or long-term care homes. We don't want to do that. So we just take money out of our pocket. But so this year it's 10 million shortfall, but last year was 10 million too. So it keeps building. So I would say that these would be among the three biggest drivers of why we are spending $150 million more. I'll just recap: 75 million police, 35 million wage increases for non-police employees of the region, and another 10 million because we're spending it because the federal government and the provincial government will come through.
Yeah, I have several questions there. Let's address them one by one because you stated it last, so I remember it. So let's talk about the police one. Did I see somewhere that we're adding headcounts for the police or we're adding police officers?
So why are we spending $75 million more? Of the $75 million, about $40 million, I'm just giving you big numbers. They're not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Around $40 million is for 175 police officers and 25 civilians.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest, because I said it's 75, so about, you know, the rest of the money is primarily because the police officers, the existing police officers, got a wage increase.
Mm-hmm.
That adds up to 75. Yeah. We're a service industry and we provide services. Now, I do want to say that the original increase, like remember I said it's 3.6? The original increase was closer to 4.5. So we did reduce it. I still think it's too high. I wish we could have reduced it more, but we did try and reduce it.
The question I have is how do we turn, if we're adding, say, headcounts for the police, the added benefit, somebody would say, oh, we're going to become more secure. Mm-hmm. We're going to see less incidents in the region or in the city, however you want to consider that. Has that been validated? Is that like the cause why crime is up? Is that what it is? By adding headcount, we reduce. And, you know, from talking to, you know, other, like the MPP, I was having a side chat with the other day. And would mention that, you know, the province is supporting the policing by giving some budget. And I don't know the details. I don't know the numbers, etc. So it's not the full burden for the region, I'm assuming. There's some other monies being forwarded to it from the province, I'm assuming.
No. Okay. It's a very good point. Let's talk about this. And I'm so glad you raised it. The region of Peel Police, how do I say, this policing, not just at the region of Peel, but everywhere in Ontario, is the costs are just going through the roof. The province has acknowledged it, right? And they said that this year, the Ontario Provincial Police, they put a cap on the maximum budget increase the OPP could have. They did not put it on the non-OPP. So Peel Police is not OPP. So it's a bit, I wish that the province would say the same to Mississauga and say, hey, your policing costs are going through the roof and we need to put a cap the same way they did for the OPP. That would be very helpful. They've not done that. So we are on our own. Now,
so,
I do speak about this $75 million, right? But, you know, to me, it's just a really high number that we are spending around $40 million hiring 175 police officers and 25 civilians. And the reason I say that is, you know, if you're going to hire 175 people, you're not hiring them all on January 1st. You're going to hire some January 1st, you're going to hire some
staggered, right?
But the cost of $40 million is as if you're hiring everybody on January 1st. So they put into the budget an asks of $43 million as if they're hiring all 175 police officers and 25 civilians on January 1st. But the reality is it's staggered. So their actual cash flow cost may be half of that. So it would really help the taxpayer if we started off with what you actually needed. And I keep pushing back and I say, this is not fair, but I'm always told this is how accounting is done. And this is the right way. So
a couple of comments. I mean, I'm from the private industry, as you know, and I do podcasting for fun. But the numbers that we're playing with, I mean, they're pretty black and white. I mean, I don't know if there's any other side story to it. I have no idea. But $40 million for 205 accounts, as you stated right now, 170 police officer plus 25 civilians. So that would be, unless I got it wrong, correct me if I'm wrong. So I got it right then. Okay. So that's $195,000, 195, 121.95 per salary per year.
I haven't done the math, but I'll go with what you say.
95 per headcount per year.
Is that what
for the audience, for the listeners to understand what that means. So each police officer or each civilian we're going to hire as a region, based on the $40 million budget for 205 people, that's $195,121.95 salary per year.
Now, I think it's,
I don't know if I got it right. I don't know if the math is working here. I have no idea, but at least from what I'm looking at.
Yes and no, because I think it's salary plus plus. So, you know, obviously.
Well, no, I mean, I get the overhead part.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, there's an overhead, there's RSPs, there's health benefits, there's a bunch of things that you add on.
It's also the cost of equipment, uniform, vehicle, gas, the total cost of one officer.
Okay. The total. So you know, but you and I talk about this, but there's a little more detail right there. So when you hire these individuals, there's an upfront cost to equip them, to train them, to hire them. But once a number goes into a budget, from what I know about government municipalities, that number sticks around. And it doesn't go down, and it always go up for many, many reasons. So
yeah, I mean,
now that we've hired these individuals, we equip them and we put them on staff, etc. Done. One would expect that the cost will go down, but it doesn't.
So it's really hard for me because one of the things with the police budget is that we don't get a lot of detail, right? So the police budget isn't. I really don't see the level of detail that I would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for me to comment on, you know, what's coming from last year. So to your point, you know, what's capitalized, I'm going to trust that everything is done by the book and I have no reason to believe they don't. But it's really hard. It's hard for me to.
And I'm not saying anybody's cheating here. I'm just trying to understand the numbers.
Yeah. But so the point is, it's a big ask.
And then when we look at the entire budget, I mean, as you stated earlier, like we're looking for an increase of $200 million spend in 2026. Did I get that right?
$150 million.
So at $150 million, you're looking around 13% increase.
Well, the way it works out is I believe that the increase, you know, I don't want to confuse people, but there's two increases. One is, you know, the straight increase of last year, the region spent $100. This year, it's spending $100. That's a 10% straight increase. But if the region's budget goes up by 10%, it doesn't mean your property taxes go up by 10%. They go up at a lower rate. So the important thing, we can either focus on the increase in the total budget or how it impacts your property tax. So the way it impacted
you. So how does it impact the property tax at the end of the year? Is that going to be like, somebody's paying $5,000 or $7,000 are going to end up being paying like another thousand, I think, or something.
So I think for the regional portion only, I am going to double check these numbers, Robin, but I think I have them here handy. Just give me 1 second. I'm going to need my glasses to see these numbers here.
That's okay. I wear glasses too.
Yes, me too. So what I have here is the impact if you live in Mississauga, and you have a home that's valued at $585,000. So we just take an average, you know, an average number. So if your home is $585,000, your regional taxes are going to go up by about $215. So if your home is $1 million, you could say it's closer to $450, right? If it's less, so.
That's for the region part.
For the region. Now the city of Mississauga part still has to come.
The city of Mississauga, we didn't talk about that one. Just that's the region. As you explained earlier, there's two of them. And that's why you were saying, like, for sake of transparency, at least line item them in the same bill.
I'd love to have two different bills, really. I think people deserve that. You know, this is the region, this is the city. It's very clear who's increasing what right now. Every level of government points the finger because you get a consolidated bill. You don't get how much is region, how much is city. So the city says, oh, we didn't do anything. It's the region. It's the police. The region says it's not us. It's the police. So this is the game, right? That's played.
Because sounds to me like a psyop, to be honest with you, just to keep the voters from finding out.
The regional appeal budget, in fairness, the regional budget has two parts. There's the police budget and then everything else. So the everything else is paramedics and, you know, public health, all of the things that the region does, wastewater, garbage collection, all of that. And then there's the police budget. So, and then think of it as three budgets: the city of Mississauga budget, the region of Peel without police, and then the police. So at the region, we say, and the police budget, we have no control over. So that's really important to understand, and I'm happy to speak to that in a bit. Councillors have very little control over the police budget. So the game is, we say the region's budget's going up because of the police. And then we say the overall budget's going up because of the region. Each level of government tries to somewhat deflect, which is okay.
Council, I don't want to muddy the water too much, but there are many cities in Canada that outsource their policing department to the RCMP. I don't want to muddy the water too much, but I've lived in a few of them.
Yes. And so the way it works here in Ontario is if you're a smaller municipality, you outsource it to the OPP because you just don't.
To the OPP. Okay.
You just don't have the tax base to have your own police force. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of small cities across Ontario that use the OPP, including Caledon. So, for example, even though Caledon is part of the region of Peel, Caledon does not use Peel Police. It uses OPP. It's only the larger cities that have their own police force.
Okay. Yeah, when I lived in Moncton, to be honest with you, they had a municipal police force. Mm-hmm. And they were going through the same discussion that you and I are talking right now about the cost of policing, et cetera. And they decided it is better for them. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't part of the municipal discussion, but I was reading the news at the time. And according to the news that we read as public at the time, it was more beneficial for them to outsource to the RCMP.
And you know what? That's certainly should be on the table, right? Like what's best for the Mississauga taxpayer? Is it to continue to be part of Peel Police, or is it better to look at other models, right? And that's a valid discussion, and it's something that I would be open to. But I did want to speak a little bit about Peel Police and why it's particularly hard on Mississauga. Now, Peel Police actually only polices Brampton and Mississauga. It does not police Caledon. Now, Brampton and Mississauga's population is about the same now, 50-50 almost. In fact, some days Brampton's a bit bigger than Mississauga. But we pay 62% of the police budget, and Brampton only pays 38% of the police budget. We should be paying 50% of the police budget. So that extra 12% that we pay is costing us, it's costing you, and it's costing me.
Of course, 12% is a large number when you're talking about a large budget.
Yeah, so, you know, by my calculation, it's somewhere between $70 to $100 million extra that our property taxpayers are paying because we subsidize Peel Police. That's the first. The second thing that a lot of people don't understand is the Peel Police budget is not set by councillors. It's set by the police board. And then the police board comes and presents it to council. And at council, we can either say yes to the whole budget or no to the whole budget. What I cannot say is, oh, can you reduce salaries by this? Or can you only hire 150 officers instead of 175? I can't do that. Either you say to the whole budget yes or whole budget no. If we were to say no to the whole budget, then it goes to arbitration. So it's out of our control. So you can see how little control we actually have on the police budget. Mm. It is the biggest chunk of our property taxes, right? So that's a real challenge when you're trying to reduce property taxes and keep them.
And low. Do you think it's in that increase in cost, is that driven by the level of crime? Obviously, I mean, assuming if you don't, you need more headcounts to manage security and safety for the public, yes, that means there is an issue there that we're trying to address.
Absolutely. There is absolutely.
And how is that divided from a statistics point of view? Like, I have the right to ask, I guess. How is this from a statistics point of view, you know, Mississauga as a town or as a city versus Brampton and the region of Peel in general? Are they equal as well, like in terms of their statistics for crime?
You know, I think that is a very tricky question. I don't have hard data to support that as to, you know, who has more or less crime. And I'm not even sure that you want to go down that route because, you know, it might change from year to year. I would be happy with the 50-50, like our population base. So our populations are almost 50-50. Let's share the police budget 50-50. That would take a huge burden off the Mississauga taxpayer.
Why do I feel like the amalgamation of the two regions is a burden? Why do I feel that?
You're right. You're right to feel that because the Mississauga taxpayer is paying more than the others, proportionately more.
So if it's not working, why continue down that road?
Because it's not our choice.
It's a provincial thing?
It's either has to be unanimous, where Brampton, Caledon, Mississauga, all three say, hey, we're getting divorced, or it's up to the province. But what Mississauga cannot do is unilaterally leave the
region. Okay, got it. Anything else we should highlight on the budget, Council?
So, you know, I've spoken a lot about why our taxes have gone up, and I've tried to break it down. $75 million police budget, $35 million and change is wage increases at the region of Peel, and then about $10 million in underfunding from the province and federal government. These are the three that jump out for me. And then we're increasing some services, and so that comes to about $150 million. But what can we do to reduce our taxes? Like, that's the real issue. And I want to say this, I've been thinking a lot about it. And what we really need to do is, the same old is not working. Let me explain to you how our budget works, right? So we get these big fat budget binders, and then we have about 3 weeks to 4 weeks in which we deliberate, and then we try to find savings. The problem, Robin, is that it's almost like a baked cake, right? It's like somebody brings a cake that's fully baked with a little bit of powdered sugar on top and says, Deepika, take the calories out. The only calories I can take out from that baked cake is the little icing on top. But the eggs, the butter, the flour, it's all baked in. I can't take it out. And that's the way the budget is. Like, it's really hard after the entire budget's been built to start to try and pull pieces out. And as counselors, we don't have that behind the curtain information, right?
Well, the problem is behind the curtain then, counselor.
What's that? Yeah.
The problem is behind the curtain.
No, because if staff says I need 10 enforcement people, how do I say, no, you only need 6, right? I mean, I'm not running the department. So this doesn't work, where we come at the end and try to. What we really need to be saying is, and the other thing is that every time we want to cut the budget, what we are told is cut services. But what I want to do is, can we provide the same level of services at a lower cost, right? Like, that should be the objective. But the objective always ends up being, you want to reduce expenses? Well, here are the services you can cut. That's not the way I want to look at it. So how can we increase efficiency? How can we reduce the cost of delivering these services? We don't have that lens. So that's what I think, that's the real leadership that we need at the municipal level, is leaders who are willing to say, how can I reduce the cost of delivering these services? How can I use technology? Like, you know, how can we say that next year we're going to do more, but we're going to use the same number of staff that we have? We're not going to add more to staff. We're going to find a way to do more with that. So that's the key, right? The second piece is, can we get a fairer deal on the municipal policing? Like, these two. The third thing is, can we get the province to start paying their full share so that every year we are not pulling 10, 12 million? So, you know, like, a fairer deal for Mississauga. These would be my three pillars. And then the fourth one, let's get that auditor general. Because I want that auditor general, because that auditor general can say, hey, you don't need 8 enforcement officers. Maybe 6 is enough, right? Hey, why are you spending so much money? And hey, you know, can you use technology to reduce costs? So that's the key piece that's really missing. And then final ask would be a more transparent police budget. And maybe, you know what, Mississauga needs to look at options. Peel Police is one option. Are there other options which would be more cost effective for the taxpayer, but keep our community safe? And maybe the best option still is Peel Police, but can we just make it fairer, 50-50? Not 62-38. So those are my thoughts around it. If you're serious about reducing the 2027 budget, the work has to start now.
You know, no, I appreciate the input and the insight. I mean, we wouldn't have gotten that window of opportunity to actually discuss that if it wasn't for you. So thank you for going through that big binder and distilling all this for us. I'm surprised I don't give it to you electronically so you can apply some other mechanism to it.
We do get it electronically as well.
We do?
Yeah, you know, it's, and some people use it, but I kind of like to underline and flip back and forth, and it's a lot easier to be able to, what's the 25 number instead of, But whether it's online or in binders, the size doesn't change.
Wow. No, and I don't know how you feel about this, and maybe just, you know, here's another, you know, Mississauga citizen griping, I guess. You know, when I see the increase of 13%, I just feel like, nobody got a salary increase of 13%.
Nobody. 13% from? Sorry, where are you?
Like, this is the expansion of spend from the additional $150 million. That's equal to 13%.
I don't know if that's the exact amount. I'd have to calculate.
12.6 actually. 150 million on a 1.2 billion, that's a 12.5%.
I just want to make sure if you're talking publicly, I just want to make, if you're looking for that number, I'm just going to tell you that it was a summary of the major drivers of the operating budget. So it was a 10.3%, not 13, but we kind of reduced it some more. So maybe it came around 9% is the increase.
Okay, so that's the 9% increase for the total budget. And what's the total budget that we're talking about right now? Is it still 1.2 or that changed? 1.2 billion?
No, budget now this year is going to end up being, I want to say, around 1.8 billion.
8 billion. Okay, that makes a difference. Okay, got it. And I'm glad we made those corrections. So the total is 1.8 billion, and we're seeing an increase of about 9%.
Yeah.
Correct?
Approximately. They're approximately.
Approximately. Yeah, about. Yeah, that's fine. So 1.8 or 9% increase. I mean, still, you know, go around and ask any of the citizens. Very rare you'll hear somebody who got a 9% increase.
Well, not all of the 9% is wages, though, right? So we're like, there's the high.
No, I get that. No, I'm not talking about wages.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about the economical balance.
I totally agree with this. But keep in mind that your property taxes are going up by 3.6%. So I mean, that's the number that you want to run with, because your property taxes, it doesn't really matter what the operating budget
sure.
is. Right? The translation is 3.6%, right? Your regional portion, the Mississauga portion, yet to be seen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, as long as people understand where these numbers are coming from and they make a decision later down the road on many things, because it's going to impact people.
I think it's too high. Do you think we can do better? I think we can do better.
Oh, 100%. I mean, here's, you want to talk about transparency. I mean, I'm glad we're talking about, you know, the Auditor General thing is passed now. And I think you're going to put it in place, or the city's going to put it in place, or the region. I don't know who's going to put it in place, but at least we'll be put in place. That's good. The other thing too is, I mean, from a transparency perspective, I mean, there's many techniques out there to increase efficiency in the way operations are done. And I don't have visibility. There's a curtain. Nobody knows what's behind it. At least if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know. Nobody would know. It's and for this podcast to share this information, I guess.
Head around, like, where's this increase coming from? Totally agree. It's really hard to follow.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I agree. It's very hard to follow. And then there's so many different numbers. There's City of Mississauga increase, there's the regional peel increase, there's the blended rate. People hear so many numbers, they're just fed up. So, yeah.
I mean, for the average person, they're simple in the way they analyze things, including myself. If we are going to complicate the information dissemination to a point that these individuals can't keep up with it or can't keep track of it, sort of they become numb to it and they just don't follow it anymore.
I agree. I totally agree with you.
But I want to thank you so much for explaining all this to us. I really appreciate it. Always good to have you here and chat about that stuff. So, and for the audience, thank you so much for joining me on this update about the budget in Region of Peel and Mississauga. We've talked about several points, and hopefully it is clear to all of you. If somebody has any question or concern or comments, whatever, and you can reach out directly to Councillor Deepika Damarila, and you can find her on the city website. That's the City of Mississauga website. Her contact information is there. If you have not been able to find that for any reason, and you can comment on this podcast, on this post, or you can link up with me on LinkedIn or send me a message, and I'll be happy to forward that information or that message to Councillor Deepika Damarila. I thank you so much, Councillor, for joining me this evening. And if we don't talk to the rest of the audience before Christmas and the New Year, I want to wish them, on both of our behalf, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all.
Same to you, Robin, and to all of the listeners. I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to try and really explain in as simple terms as possible why your taxes are increasing. Because I think if people understand why the taxes are increasing, we can have a more meaningful conversation. Like, I'd love for my residents to ask the provincial government, guys, why are you shortchanging the region every year? Every year it's 10 million, right? So last year was, I don't know, 8 or 9 million. That 8 or 9 million we're still carrying. Over a period of time, I don't know, over the last 10 years, I don't know, is it like 60, 70 million that we are taking out of our property taxes? Like, this is information people don't know. Like, I always say, I wish on the property tax, I could have a line that said, you know, of the $8,000 or whatever you're paying in property tax, this much is because the provincial government didn't pay us for the services we provide on their behalf, right? That would get people to ask the Ontario government. Like, it starts a conversation, or at least they understand, and they just don't think, oh, these municipal politicians are just increasing taxes. I think it's really important to understand where that increase is coming from. And I'll continue to try and be more transparent. I always believe, like I've said to you so many times, Robin, that the fundamental basis of democracy is trust. And to earn that trust,
you need transparency.
And I'm trying to be as transparent as I can be. So thank you.
And I thank you so much for that. I mean, I wish more people like you in on a municipal level, government level, whatever, various level of government, I wish there was that level of transparency. And I noticed something about you, and I give you a lot of kudos for this, is when you find a little bit of information that is worthwhile for the public to have, you're out there putting that information out. Like, you're not holding on to it. You want to share that information. And there's a lot of respect for that. I've got a lot of respect for that, because many people would dissect the information and tweak it and they try to figure out how do I position the information. You're very forthcoming, and I like that.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
I really appreciate it. And I wish you a great evening. Thank you so much. And on behalf of myself and the listener, I want to thank you as well. Thank you. And I will see you next time.
Yes.
Just hang in there. Don't leave.